Welcome back, everyone. This is Allie.
And this is Tiara.
And this is the Goddess Vibration. We have noticed that our audience really likes it when we talk about relationships. So Tiara and I are going to continue this trend, and we are going to talk about toxicity in relationships. And her and I have kind of been brainstorming like where we want to go with this. And I think a lot of fascinating and interesting and possibly embarrassing stuff is going to come through. So this should be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about the relationships topic. I think we're just kind of all in that same place where we're just like, we don't know what to do. It's weird out there in the wild. Men are strange. If you're a man, you probably think women are strange. Like, we're just kind of sitting on the sidelines, twiddling our thumbs, like, what is this other sex? And like, what do they, I don't get them. So I think that's part of the reason why there is so much interest in this topic. And it makes sense, you know, like, it is a strange place out there. And I'm of the belief personally that online dating has destroyed relationship dynamics as far as how dating is supposed to work. And like, we get it. So let's dive into just a little bit of some of this stuff, particularly when it comes to the toxicity that often is seen in not just long-term relationships, but even when you're dating someone. Because Allie's right, we've got a lot of examples, and there's some embarrassing stuff in here. And I'm ready to dive in because this is going to be very, very interesting.
So let's do it, Tiara. Wherever you want to start, we're here to embarrass ourselves and incriminate ourselves and hopefully have a lot of laughs.
Oh, God, men. I want to start off by saying, like, you know, you're going to hear us use the terms men and women when it comes to the genders. And I'm not trying to be discriminatory. You know, if you're a transgender, you know, align with the gender that you feel most comfortable aligning with. You know, if you're a female and you carry masculine energy, that's fine. If you want to identify as the male, or vice versa. So, you know, we're not trying to be discriminatory or ignore the fact that, you know, people are trans and some people are non-binary. We get that. It's just the best way for us to share our stories and make it easier for us, just because, you know, I identify as she, her, Allie identifies as she, her, and we are straight. And, you know, our experiences have been with straight men. So I just wanted to share that preface before we move forward. So, you know, it's really interesting because, you know, we were thinking about this topic, and I initially thought back to my very first relationship, which I met him online, and this was like the early 2000s. I'm showing my age, I guess, which is crazy. The early 2000s.
We're old.
Oh my God.
We're old.
That's a whole other topic. That's a whole other topic. But anyway, yeah, so it was like the early 2000s, I want to say like 2003, 2004. And he hit me up online. And at the time I was using a website called OkCupid. I don't know if that's even still out there or if it, wait, hold on.
I think
sorry.
It is.
Not OkCupid. Hold on. It was Plenty of Fish. That's the website. That's the website. And I don't know if that one still exists. I have used OkCupid too. But the very first dating site I got on ever was plentyoffish.com. And it was just like, you know, a basic dating site. Like, you put your information and your photo and your profile. And I ended up meeting this guy, and I thought he was super cute. He was a Latin guy. He was Mexican. And, you know, he was very charming in the messages and very sweet. And I was like, okay, you know, I don't mind meeting this guy. Like, he seems like straightforward. So we went out, and then, like, it was fine. You know, we had a good time. It was fun. We ended up talking on the phone, and I remember him saying a lot of stuff about his past and like some of the things he's experienced and like other women. And it was just like really sad. And I was like, well, you know, I guess it's nice that he has someone to vent to, i.e. me. So I was listening. And I remember him, once we started getting to the point where it was like possibly escalating into a relationship, I will never forget this. He was like, hey, I know you are, you know, content. I know you like me. I like you too. I just want to let you know that, like, you know, I'm a lot. So if you want out of this and you want to back out of any potential relationship, I'm giving you the chance. I was what? Like, what? I was like, wait, what? Why? I don't understand. Like, why would I do that? I like you. I don't, you know, I want this to go into a relationship. It's kind of strange that you're saying that. And he was just like, oh yeah, you know, I'm just letting you know, like, are you sure you want to move forward with this with me? And I was just like, yeah, I'm sure. I don't understand you. You're weird.
Why are you saying I think that? You should have asked more questions. Like, I think you should have gotten more specifics.
Okay, well, I was in my early 20s at the time, which is like peak idiocy for most people. So I didn't do that. I was just really eager to be with him because, you know, I liked him and I saw potential there. So obviously I didn't say, oh, I want to back out of this. I moved into this relationship and we were together for 3 years. And looking back on that whole relationship, he carried a lot of trauma. And a lot of that got projected in the relationship, mostly in the form of emotional and mental manipulation towards me. And I remember he would dig at me because, like, I was a square. I didn't really do drugs. I didn't smoke. Like, I grew up, like, thinking sex was gross. Like, I was just a total freaking block.
Square.
Right. I say block because, like, you know, it's just, that's how much of a square I was. And he would dig at me for being prude. Like, you know, I didn't really dress provocatively. I wasn't like a seducer. You know, I wasn't like really that into sex. So he would call me a prude and it would like hurt my feelings. I'd be like, why are you calling me that? And I was like, because you're a prude. And like just little digs like that would like affect my self-esteem or make me feel inferior or like there's something wrong with me that he would do in different ways. And he also had like this addiction to porn, you know, and I feel like when you're younger and you see a guy that has that, sometimes you project onto yourself. You're like, well, is there something wrong with me? Is that why he's watching all of that so addictively? Am I not giving enough sexually, or, you know, am I not pretty enough? And that would affect me too. And it would affect my confidence. And like, once the relationship started getting towards where it was ending, I got really sick of like him coming to my house and like we would hang out and then he would like watch porn like on his phone, or he would like go on the computer in our house and watch it like when I wasn't paying attention, or, you know, sometimes we would cuddle and I would fall asleep and then he'd go watch and I was just like, what the fuck is this relationship? You know, this isn't a relationship. So I remember towards the end, when it ended and I ended things, I was getting ready to graduate college. And some guys do this thing where like, where they know the relationship's ending, they want to give you gifts. So I think he knew the relationship was ending and I was getting ready to cut it. And he bought me an Xbox, the first or second Xbox as a gift. And I was just like, I don't want this. And he was like, well, no, this is a gift for you. I want to get this for you. Just take it. Which is so funny because I ended up meeting my twin flame on that Xbox, but that's a different story. So I was like, fine, I'll take the gifts. And I did end the relationship. And I did bring up the whole thing about like, hey, you fucking come to my house and you watch porn and you don't hang out with me. And he freaking got on my, this pissed me off so much. He was like, well, we're still hanging out. Like, it's still hanging out. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was just like, you know what? I got to get out of here. So I took the Xbox and left his house. And for a little bit after that, he stalked me. And I never felt threatened. he would just come to my house and sit in front of my house for like 45 minutes. I also started noticing, because I worked downtown at the time, that I would see him like walking around while I'm walking around. And it was so strange because you don't really think someone is following you or stalking you until you see them in places you would never, ever expect to see them. And I remember on two specific occasions seeing him. He would like walk past or like turn around real fast. And I was just like, I know that was him. I know that was him. I saw him one time when I was at the club, and it was like they were having a fashion show. So there was like a runway, and I just stepped in, and then I saw him like at the front of the runway, and I knew it was him because he had this thing where he would like fidget. And I saw him fidgeting, and I was like, that is him. Why is he here? I didn't really let it bother me. I just kind of let it, like, you know, flow to the wayside. I didn't feel threatened ever. But I think the part that really got me when it came to this relationship is, you know, and these intimate connections, sometimes we like to have our partner take intimate photos of us, or we'll take intimate photos of ourselves and send them to our partner. So trigger warning, I just want to share a trigger warning before I move forward. And that through him, I did end up becoming a victim of revenge porn. And the way that came to be is another story. So I'm going to share that later. But that did also happen. And it just kind of goes to show how men who have these wounds and these issues, these toxic traits, can do things to you that affect you for, gosh, like the rest of your life. So I'm going to get back to the whole revenge porn thing, because the way that that came to be is crazy. But that was my experience with my first relationship. And looking back, I now see so many red flags that I wish I would have paid attention to.
That's quite the story. I have not heard that story, and I've known Tiara a very long time. I think that he actually opened the door of opportunity. Like, he did warn you, and it just really goes to show, like, how important it is to ask more questions when you're in a situation like that. And it also is very important to have that self-awareness and be like, what... I would just ask more questions. I would just kind of dig deeper, but that's just that's my style and in my nature. I can say in terms of my dating relationships, I think it's actually our generation, the millennial generation, where men started to shift into these Peter Pans, like the Peter Pan of, I never want to grow up. I just want to stay a kid. And that's basically who I was dating. Like, if you're a woman and if you really want to have like something more serious or something more committed and something more, you know, it's going somewhere, which I have always been that way. Like, I always entered relationships with these Peter Pans that was just like, no, I never want to grow up. I just want to stay a kid. I don't want kids. I don't really believe in marriage. And I don't know how or when that shifted to our generation. Maybe it trickled in a little bit from the Gen X, but it's just, I just don't understand what happened in society, in relationships, to really shift this dynamic into men and women are avoiding each other. They just don't see relationships as two people coming together as one. It's just like, yeah, I'm just going to date and I'm just going to have fun. And, you know, we're just going to do my thing and do her thing. And we're just going to see each other on occasion and like not really build a life together.
You know, the whole Peter Pan thing for our generation is really interesting, because I feel like we're
fascinating.
It is. And I feel like we're this generation that like this is in all of us. I know it's in all of us, where we all just kind of want to go back to the 90s. You know, we miss the way it was, and we're so nostalgic for that time back when we had Blockbuster and, you know, Power Rangers and, you know, candy, popcorn, go by and sit and watch TV, play video games. And I just feel like we have this nostalgia for that era, and we want to go back to that. And I wonder if part of that is why we don't want to really grow up. Like, we're just sort of like, oh, adulting sucks. Adulting's hard. And it is. Adulting is hard. And we kind of came up into adulthood at a time when stuff was rough. Like, we had that whole 2008 recession thing that affected a lot of us really deeply. Some of us, 9/11. Like, we've just had a lot of, like, traumatic stuff to get through. And I think at some point we were like, yeah, I don't like this era. I want to go back to that other era. I don't want to be an adult. I don't want to do the kids thing. I want to go back to that era. All this is hard. It sucks. So I wonder if, like, the traumas that we have is contributing to some of that sentiment around not wanting to, like, be an adult, and the whole Peter Pan thing. Like, I could see that, honestly.
You know, I could too, but the Peter Pan mentality has really messed up dating.
Yeah.
It really has. Like, I know for me personally, like, almost every guy I have ever dated was just like, I don't want kids. It's just not in the cards for me. I don't really believe in marriage. And I'm just like, then why are you even dating? Like, why are you even in a relationship? Like, right. what are we doing? And people, you know, I think it's a complex with women where we're just like, well, you know, let them get to know me. Once they get to know me, maybe they'll change their mind. And I gotta tell you, that rarely ever happens. It's like, we entered these relationships and it's like, we have to kind of strong arm them or like force them into like committing to us in ways. And it's just, it becomes very like emotional manipulation, and it becomes very manipulative. And it's just like, we make sacrifices because we think or hope that they will change. And I mean, there's just so many red flags in dating that people run towards. And
yes.
For the life of me, I cannot figure out why.
I have seen TikToks of multiple TikToks of women who will be like, well, I texted him and he left me on red and he hasn't responded in 5 days, which is a total red flag. But then they're like, I'm going to message him again and just see if I can't, you know, get this to happen, get this to work. And I'm just like, okay, so the red flag there is that he hasn't texted you in 5 days. Why are you still pursuing? And I can't figure out some of these like behaviors where you, the man indicates he's not interested, but we still pursue. And, you know, I read a book back in the day around this. It was called He's Just Not That Into You, where women miss the signals that indicate that a guy isn't really that interested because we have this complex, you know, or maybe we just want to be loved. Maybe we want the relationship so badly. Maybe we're so into the guy that we can't fathom that he wouldn't be interested. I don't quite fully know what it is, but we tend to miss the signals that indicate that a guy is fully not really interested. And the thing with men is that they're nice, right? They're nice. They like the attention just like anyone else would. So oftentimes men don't say no, you know, even when they're not really that interested. So then that's when you start to end up in these situationships where it's not really going anywhere, but like no one is willing to pull the trigger or acknowledge the red flags. And, you know, I think that's another reason why dating has become so complicated.
I think that there's a laundry list of reasons why dating has become so complicated. I mean, I would say, obviously, just to run down a few that we've talked about in previous episodes, but like the masculine and feminine roles have changed. Women are in their masculine energy. Men are more in their wounded feminine energy. gender roles definitely play a big part in that. It's also society is making it hard for men and women to go back into the roles and the energies that they are intended to be in because of inflation and, you know, trying to just get through this crazy thing right now we call life. And on top of that, there's also traditions. I know in other countries, like, people are very traditional and they're trying to hang on to those traditions when it comes to dating, and people are unwilling to make some of those changes. And with online dating, technology, the way that we date, the way that we communicate, we don't know how to communicate anymore because technology has made it so easy for us to do this crazy thing called ghosting, which is extremely disrespectful, but it's the easy way out and people love to take it. And it's just a mess out there because a plethora of reasons.
You know, you spoke to the distorted masculine and feminine. I know we've spoken to this in the past, but I don't know that we've really talked about what those red flags look like. And I always go back to this gentleman that I follow online called Jake Woodard, who seems to have like done extensive research in this area and hasn't identified specific red flags when it comes to men who are operating from their wounded feminine and women who are operating from an over-masculine energetic state. And I see this dynamic all the time, and I'm seeing it more and more. And I think it speaks to what you're talking about, Allie, where an overly masculine woman who is operating from her masculine energy is dating or married to a wounded feminine man and is like carrying the pants in the relationship, telling him what to do, being the boss, managing everything in the house, bringing in the income. And this wounded feminine man just kind of takes it, tolerates the abuse, doesn't stand in his masculine power. And, you know, I think at this point, that is the dominant dynamic I've personally have been seeing. You know, I'm not in a relationship, but I do have loved ones and friends who are in relationships, and the dynamics look just like that. And it's just so fascinating that that's the shifts that we've gone into when it comes to a lot of intimate relationships. Now, that's not to say that they're all like that. That just seems to be the dynamic that I see most. So he says that men who operate from their wounded feminine, these specific traits: things like victimhood, insecurity, being passive or indecisive when it comes to making decisions, a lot of self-doubt or shame. They're flighty sometimes. Oftentimes they're hypersensitive. And he says women who operate from their wounded masculine will display traits like being controlling, super or hyper independent, very critical, guarded energy, defensive and combative, and numb. And I know for me, I did have some of these wounded masculine traits. But the crazy thing is for me is that when I got into my marriage, I did still have some of those traits, but the man that I was with had hyper masculine traits that exceeded those. And so for some reason, it still worked, which that's a whole other different dynamic. But those are some of the red flags that he talks about. And honestly, a lot of that stuff just comes from prior wounding, much of it probably from childhood.
It's really interesting that you talk about dynamics. I'm just trying to think about my past relationships. And I would say for me, it's been always pretty fairly balanced, which is really interesting. It's just the issue a lot, like I've already brought up the issues in my past relationships. I've always kind of found these Peter Pans, never want to grow up, had commitment issues. And I think commitment issues is actually a big reason why people are so terrified of dating. It's like people just see relationships as this massive commitment, and somehow our society has shifted into this non-committed, terrified of commitment point of view, and I don't know where it comes from. I have no idea.
Right. And well, and that's why you're seeing the explosion of polyamory and these polyamorous relationships. And there are people that have these Instagram accounts and they show off their polyamorous dynamics and they blow up. The lack of commitment thing, I don't quite know what it is either. I do think that our generation came up at a time when, like, a lot of us saw that shift towards divorce. A lot of our parents are divorced. You know, many of us were victims of circumstance and that we had to witness the divorce, and maybe we saw our family get ripped apart. Or maybe we ended up in these situations where we lived with either mom or either dad, or had to like go back and forth. And, you know, that creates trauma. And I think in some ways that's like deterred people from relationships in many ways, especially from marriage. Now, that's not to say marriages aren't still happening. I do think our generation still gets married, but statistics will show that we're doing it at a much later age. We're not doing it as frequently as prior generations. So there are shifts there. But, you know, I kind of had that thought that a lot of us witnessed things and we were just like, no, I don't want that.
Okay, I could see that. So as a traveler, I kind of want to touch briefly about like dating culture around the world. And I have found it very fascinating because as an American and, you know, dating in America, you know, we have the shift of the feminist movement where, you know, women are stepping up more and, you know, wining and dining men and, you know, being more of an equal in a relationship, like splitting the bill. And I know some women love it and I know a lot of women who don't. And it's just interesting, like, being able to travel and, like, in Asia, for example, I know, like, Asian couples are very clingy. Like, they are so addicted to either being with each other 24/7 or needing to, like, be texting 24/7. And it's like, if you don't text within 5 minutes, then something's wrong. And then they just start spiraling. And I'm just like, I mean, that would drive me crazy personally. I just couldn't do that. But also, like, in Latina culture, for example, I know that there's a very traditional dynamic here where, like, you know, the men want to be the providers and the women want to be taken care of. And I know that, like, the dynamic here in Latino culture, for example, is just very, like, women are in many ways are like worshipped here, and they're just kind of used to that. And so, you know, they see other parts of the world, like Western culture, where, you know, the feminist and more of the splitting, and it's just really an interesting dynamic to see how dating is in different cultures. And, you know, obviously, we have access to anything nowadays with the internet. And it's just like, you know, you read about how it is in other parts of the world, especially when it comes to dating. And it's just interesting how different cultures have been mixing, or people are kind of more curious about different ethnicities or different, you know, different ways of dating. And it's just bringing in all these different perspectives and testing the waters and, you know, trying things like polyamorous. And it's just kind of like, you know, the more that we explore, I think exploring is great, but I also see like the dangers in it. Because once you get a taste of something else, and if you like it, you're kind of like, oh, well, I've tried it and I like it and now I want more of it. And then you try to incorporate it with different people. And so I feel like there's this like paradigm and this stigma that has like literally it's altering dating, the more that like cultures mix and mash, if that makes sense.
Speaking of dating in Colombia, I was over there for 5 months, but I didn't really date. I just wasn't really in the mental place to date. And I'm still not in the mental place to date. I mean, like, it's a jungle out there. But we did go out a couple times to some language exchange events. And at a lot of these events, they also have bars. So we went out a couple times, and on two separate occasions, I was approached by much younger men, like much younger. So like, I'm in my late 30s, and gosh, this is so weird to say, but the age of consent in Colombia is 16.
14.
And I was approached by a 17-year-old. Now, obviously, in my American brain, I'm just like, this is not normal. This is illegal. This is weird. I'm not your mother. Like, you just need to go home and do your homework. But this kid, when I say this kid, was like confident and secure and very well spoken, very well educated.
So well spoken.
Like, you wouldn't think he was 17 and he knew English and he was bilingual and his English was really good. And I was just like, who are you? And he was all up in my space and in my energy. And I was just like, I don't know what to do with you. Like, you know, you're adorable. But like, you can't be doing this, hitting on me. And it's just weird. You need to go somewhere. But he wouldn't. And apparently a couple times when I like stepped away, I was with Allie. He went to her and was like, does your friend dance? Can I dance with your friend? Is she coming back? And I was just like, what is this kid? On another occasion, there was another kid. I say kid because, I mean, like, they're kids. Like, come on. This one was 21, and he was really cute. He was actually really cute. Spoke no English at all. So, like, it was a lot of broken Spanish from my end and translating and having his friend translate. And I could tell he was interested, right? And I don't think I told him my age. I think we told the kid my age, and he was just like, oh.
He did not care.
Right. Oh, so is she coming back? I was like, so it's just so interesting how the cultures differ out there. I mean, like, we're talking about in a bar and this kid had a drink and he was 17. And I was just like, in America, you would never, ever see anything like this. I can't say that. You probably could. I mean, kids drink in America. But in a bar that's regulated and they're monitoring and they're security, you wouldn't see anything like this. So it was like really hard for me to wrap my head around. But I have seen other women speak to this about how these younger men are pursuing hard. And they're pursuing, they're men in their 20s. And they're pursuing, like, women in their 30s and 40s and 50s. And I'm just like, what is going on? And Allie actually sent me a TikTok of this guy saying that a big part of it is that older women have their stuff together. They've, like, worked through things, and they're more confident, they're more secure, they're not as much drama. They know what they want. And so when you think about it from that perspective, it makes sense. That makes total sense. It's just, I wasn't ready for it, you guys. I was not ready for these young kids and their pursuits. And like, I still need to process it. I still need to process it. Cause in my head, I'm like, well, where is like the older men? Like, cause you know, I have a thing for older men. Like, I like them older. I like them secure and confident. And like, you know, they know how to throw down in the bedroom. Like, that's what I'm into. So where are these men? And I don't know. I don't know where these men are. But the younger boys, they're coming for you guys.
It is a trend happening all around the world. It's been so wild. I have, like, when it started happening to Tiara, I hit the internet. I was just like, what is this? And why is this happening? And there's been articles like around the world being like, there is this new trend where younger men are going after older women. And I'm just like, this is so fascinating. Like, what is happening in our society to make younger men want to do this? And it's a rabbit hole, and it's just like, you have to have a very open mind, and you have to have a lot of compassion, and you have to have an idea of really what is going on this planet to comprehend, to understand what is happening with these shifts.
You know, I have seen some women, it is crazy. And I've seen some women say that they think it's because they're looking for mommies. And I think that's interesting. I don't know that I fully agree with that. But, you know, if you're one of these younger kids, you probably did grow up in a household where your mom was working all the time. Maybe she wasn't around all the time. So maybe a lot of these guys have mommy issues. I mean, that's a possibility. I just think there's a little bit more to it than that. And I can't fully put my finger on what it is. I mean, what the guy said on TikTok makes sense. But I personally haven't spoken to any of these kids. I keep calling them kids. I probably shouldn't do that. I haven't spoken to any of them and gotten their full perspective. So I might do so whenever one of these encounters happens again, which I know is bound to happen at some point.
Yeah, when Tiara returns, whenever that will be.
Right. Or even over here, like, because, you know, I'm in the U.S. right now. I haven't really gone out like that just because it's weird out there and I don't want to spend money. But I was thinking about dipping my toe in just to see what's going on, you know, just to see what all these people are talking about when it comes to the dating scene. Just, you know, taking a look around. I was thinking about it. I'm just not sure if I'm fully ready yet.
If you're not ready, then you're not ready. And I think that's a lot of the conflict happening in dating, is that people like rush into relationships, or they think that they want something, or people do it out of all different kinds of reasons. It could be they're just lonely, or maybe they think that there's this connection. And I mean, what makes dating really difficult is that it takes two to tango, people, right? It's like, it's two people and there has to be a vibe there. There has to be energy there and there has to be chemistry, right? It's just like, it's really difficult because it's like, if one person's more into the other person and the other person is, you know, more into the other person, it's just, but the other person's not feeling it, it just gets confusing. And it's like, you want to fight to hang on to this person. And, you know, people have a really hard time coming to the realization of, you know, this isn't meant to be, or there's red flags there, or people are just unwilling to accept the situation for what it is. People think like, oh, they'll come around, or I can change their mind. And so they put all this time and energy into someone. And that's the thing, it's that you cannot change people. You can be an influence in their lives. You can be supportive in their lives. But when it comes to actual change, you cannot force someone else to change. And I feel like a lot of people go into relationships with that mentality. I know that I certainly have in the past, like in my earlier dating years, I was just like, well, we get along great. We have all this chemistry. Like, once he gets to know me, I'll be able to change his mind about not wanting to be a Peter Pan anymore. And I was slapped in the face more than once. You know, it's just, I couldn't change him. He was very upfront with me too about it. Like, he was just like, I think our third date, he was just like, just so you know, I don't want kids. I don't want marriage. I'm not going to change my mind. And I was just like, it's our third date. Like, let's just see where it goes. And then it's like, as the relationship progressed, it's like that third date, like all of those little things, like it kept coming up as our relationship progressed and as we grew closer. And I just was like, why am I doing this? He's not going to change his mind. I had to snap myself out of it and just be like, he's not going to change his mind. And I have to respect that. I either have to accept the situation or I have to honor myself and know that this isn't working despite how we feel about each other. And so, like, relationships are hard. And it's really hard when you want something from the other person that they are unwilling to provide. And I feel like so many people get stuck in this mentality of they're going to change, or I can change them, or I'm going to control it, or I'm going to force some type of outcome. And most of the time, you're in for such a rude awakening.
Yeah, that is huge in relationships. And, you know, thinking you can save this person, or thinking you can make them into or mold them into the person you want to be and get them to treat you differently. And I saw a TikTok about this where a gentleman said that a lot of people, especially people that carry deep inner childhood wounding or trauma from their past, will go into relationships in an attempt to make the other person treat them a specific way. And they put so much time and energy into this to get this person to treat them the way that they want to be treated, or to change their behaviors in some way. And it really is a trauma response, because there's trauma there that, or internalized beliefs around your worth and around what you deserve, and trying to get that validation from the other person in some kind of way. And that is really big in relationships. It's very, very common. And it's a big lesson at the end of the day. And, you know, I have seen these dynamics where someone goes into a relationship with the intent to save or rescue the other person, or, you know, like, fix them or be their emotional support. And that's a trauma response, because many times, especially with that type of dynamic, you're trying to give to that person something that you didn't get or receive when you came up. And so it's interesting that that's so heavily common. And I do think that for many people, it just ends up being this major, major lesson. And it's a hard lesson. And it's a tough one too, because, like, when you go into that, it honestly, trying to change someone in a relationship, as Ali said, it's a slap in the face, because it ultimately never works. Like, it really never ever works. But for many of us, that's just a lesson that we need. And it's unfortunate, because it does affect us in many ways. And sometimes it will distort our perceptions on relationships. But at the end of the day, it's just, you know, there's a lot of ego. And if we can overcome the ego, maybe we can get to that aspect or place where we see the lesson for what it is, capture the lesson, and move on and become better.
I will say that capturing the lesson is incredibly hard for, like, the majority of the population, because we will continue to date the exact same people until we learn the lesson. It's just so interesting how energy works and how the dynamics in the relationships are usually the same as you go from person to person. Like, I have had conversations with people where they're just like, I date the same person and it always ends the same way. Why? And I typically say it's because you have not learned the lesson. You have not captured the lesson. You have not learned what you really want. If you're attracting the exact same people, you don't know what you want, clearly. Because if you knew what you wanted, then you'd be dating someone different. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. A lot of people, you know, people look for what's familiar. People, you know, it's easier when it's familiar. And people, unfortunately, they like easy. And I feel like that dynamic in dating has really been a slap in the face to so many people, because people just get stuck in these cycles. And I'm just like, you got to break the cycle. You got to go for someone different. You have to know what you want. And then when you meet someone who is aligned with you, that's the person that you should be fighting for. You shouldn't be fighting for what looks good. If they check all your boxes on your list, you know, it's just like, you got to shift your energy. You got to shift your mind. You got to shift what you're willing to accept into your life. And I feel like once you start to do that, you're going to start to attract the people that you really can build a life with. I don't think people really understand that, like, yes, dating is hard. I'm not arguing that. Dating is really hard. But I am also saying that if you are willing to shift your energy, and if you're willing to shift, like, if you're willing to honor yourself, and if you're willing to live in an authentic place, then you will start to attract the people that you actually want to be with. And if you are what they are looking for, I'm telling you, you're going to find better relationships because you're more aligned. And that is what people are missing when it comes to dating and dynamics.
It is. And it's interesting that you say that, because I have a friend who's in a situation, and it's not so much about, like, what the label is of their connection. It's more
exactly.
about
labels how are bullshit.
Labels are such bullshit. It's about how he makes her feel. And, you know, we were chatting about it. And one of the things that she said that was so striking to me about this connection that she has was that this guy uplifts me. He makes me feel safe. He makes me feel at ease and is comforting and is so supportive. And it is different from anything I've ever experienced. And I'm realizing how important it is to have him in my life. And that is ultimately the kind of thing that you should get out of a connection, is someone who uplifts you and supports you and wants to bring out the best traits in you. And I don't know if just a lot of people don't quite understand that, but a healthy dynamic or connection should be beneficial to both of you. It should bring out the best traits in each of you. And so many times we see the opposite. We see these connections where they're destroying each other or bringing out the worst traits in each other. Triggering each other. Yes. And so it was just so striking to me that she had that realization. And, you know, we kind of had it together. And I was just like, oh my God, you are so right. Like, this guy is a sweetheart. And you should keep him around, you know?
The last time we talked about relationships, I referenced my last relationship, and that's exactly what he did, at least for me. I mean, I know I failed in certain aspects of that, but it's a lesson. It was an important lesson I needed to learn, because now I know how I want to move forward. But I mean, he ultimately was the one who taught me, like, a successful relationship is when you bring out the best in each other, when mm-hmm. you really, like, help each other and you support each other. And he was absolutely right. And that is wisdom I will live on for the rest of my life. And it's so valuable.
It is. That is incredibly valuable. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we're not necessarily taught that. We kind of have to just figure it out on our own. But that's why we have this podcast, to kind of give you guys a little bit of wisdom along the way. So I wanted to come back to the story with, you know, my first relationship and how it spiraled into revenge porn. Again, trigger warning here, trigger warning. At the time, this is just ironic. I was working for a nonprofit organization that is an association for domestic violence shelters. And out of nowhere, this woman reaches out to me on Facebook. And she's just like, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm dating such and such. And I have discovered that he is putting photos of, nude photos of us, you included, online. And I was just like, wait, what? What the F are you talking about? She was like, yeah, there are photos of you nude on this specific website that I found. And I have a Google alert set up because he's been doing this to me for a while. And I just happened to stumble upon these photos, and he mentioned that they were you. And I just want to reach out to you because this is not okay. And I'm suing him and I'm going to court, and it would be really great if you could like testify against him. And I was just like, whoa, this is a lot. This is a lot. Like, can you point me in a direction of like how to navigate or deal with this? Like, what have you been doing? And she was like, well, what you have to do is you have to go to the sites and you have to say to them, take this down because it was posted without my permission. So I ended up finding out which sites they were. And essentially it was just like, these sites are so freaking disgusting. It's a forum where men go and they post photos, various photos of nude women. Doesn't matter where they come from. Doesn't matter who it is. They don't really care. They just put it up there and everyone just looks and watches. And he would put like these demeaning, disgusting terms or descriptions of the photos. And essentially what they were just photos of me like in various postures, again, that I took intimately for him specifically. Never had the thought that he would take these and share them elsewhere. And, you know, this happened right when, this was in California, and this happened right when they were starting to get some of that revenge porn legislation passed. So I didn't quite necessarily have any recourse for it. It just was something I had to deal with. So, you know, I ended up going to the site and being like, these photos were posted without my permission. If you do not take these down, I will like get legal action. And they ended up taking them down immediately, which was great. So she and I ended up staying in touch for a little bit because she was still involved with him. And she ended up telling me that he also stalked her, but that he took it further and would like get other people to follow her and threaten her, and that he was physical with her. Now, I'm fortunate that he was never physical with me, you know, and the crazy thing is that there were people that kind of had that concern about him that, hey, this guy's, he's got some issues. And, you know, me and my ignorance, I was just like, oh, you know, he's going to be fine. He's just working through it. You know, it's fine. He's not going to do anything to me. And he would say, like, I would never lay hands on you. I would never touch you. Big red flag right here, what I'm about to say next. He also had mentioned often many times about how his father abused his mother physically. And when you see that, like when you know a guy or meet a guy where his father abused his mother, there is a good chance that he is inclined to do the exact same thing. But he was so good with words. You know, it was always like, I would never do that. You know, I learned that that's not something you do to a woman. And he eventually did end up going on to do the same thing. So it's another red flag there.
Manipulation.
Absolutely. So, you know, I ended up dealing with that and we stayed in touch for a little bit. And, you know, I wanted to be a support for her, you know, because it sounds like she was dealing with a lot with him. And I was like, hey, if you need like legal support or something, I can refer you to one of these domestic violence shelters or programs that can give you some legal support. And, you know, she was always open to that. We stayed in touch for a little bit and she would check back in every once in a while, but I lost touch with her a couple years ago. He ended up going on to marry an ex. I don't know who that was. I have an idea of who it could have been, but their whole thing was toxic too. So I don't know what ended up becoming of him. I will say that before he and I lost touch fully, and actually after we lost touch, he ended up messaging me on Facebook out of the blue, out of nowhere, and did apologize, which shocked the hell out of me. And he was just like, I just want to reach out to you and say, I'm sorry for everything. Like, I'm sorry for everything I did. I'm sorry for my behavior and actions. I'm sorry. And I was like, you know what? I appreciate that so much. And we never spoke again.
Well, time is a wonderful tool, and time also gives people the opportunity to reflect and introspect and mature.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people do a lot of stupid shit when we're young. It's just, you know, but we have to go through it. We have to make mistakes, and we're not perfect. And, you know, we have to try different things to figure out what we like and what we don't like, because how are we going to know if we are unwilling to explore and expand and try and push ourselves out of that comfort zone?
Right. And ultimately, it does come down to knowing your worth, you know, and at some point I did find my worth. It took me a while. It took me 3 years. But at some point, I did get to that place where I was like, this isn't serving me. I deserve better. I'm getting ready to graduate. I just don't want to deal with this type of relationship dynamic right now. So, you know, I did end it because I decided that I deserve better. And many of us do eventually get to that place. It just takes us some time sometimes. So really, it's important that you do recognize what you deserve, and you do recognize your worth and value in these connections, because that's going to be a pillar for you down the line when you do find someone who acknowledges the same worth in you that you see.
That's so great that you say that, because I feel like people don't know their own worth, and people don't know what they deserve, and people don't know what they like. And it's just so wild that people are so afraid to explore that, because every person on this planet is valuable. Everyone has something to offer, and really, like, we all deserve compassion and love and understanding, because we don't know what type of upbringing you have. We don't know what trauma you hold. We don't know what happened to, you know, make you act a certain way, because hurt people do hurt things. I know I was one of them. I know that I have invested a lot of time and money and energy into myself because I knew I didn't like the person I was. And I knew that I needed to shift and make changes and be a better person, because I fortunately had the self-awareness to snap myself out of whatever negative cycles I was in. And I was just like, there has to be more to life, and life is worth fighting for. And I'm going to go figure out what I'm truly made of. And I wish more people had that fight and energy to want to do that for themselves.
That fight and energy, you know, it's hard because many of us don't have it because of the wounding and the trauma that we carry. We lose our sense of self-worth. And it takes deep reflection and introspection to find it again. And, you know, the great thing about relationships is that if you can capture what the relationship is telling you about yourself, you can go and find that worth again. It's just, you really have to have that awareness, and that takes time. You know, it takes time to build that. So for all of you guys that are in those difficult relationship dynamics, just take a step back and try to see if you can't discover or find what the relationship is telling you about yourself. And maybe that'll help you with which direction you should go.
So I hope you guys extract an important message from this episode. You know, Tiara and I don't typically shy away from embarrassing ourselves and sharing silly stories like this, or even serious stories. You know, we have all been through a lot of stuff, and, you know, through Tiara and I's authenticity and being able to come on here and share our experiences, I hope you guys do extract something, and, you know, you want to improve on yourself, or you want to find better relationships, because you deserve it, and everyone deserves it. And that's really the message that we just want to spread and share.
Absolutely, you guys. So if you guys liked this episode, we are open to more topics in this arena, but we need your feedback. So feel free to reach out, send us some feedback either on DM, on social media, or you can email the emails on our website. And if you haven't already, please do check out our spiritual community at patreon.com/vibehigher. We are there for you guys to navigate this tricky journey of not just relationships, but self-growth, expansion, and self-improvement as well. So please do, you know, reach out, share feedback. We always love, love, love to hear feedback about some of these topics and episodes. It just seems like you guys particularly love the relationship ones. And I'm not going to lie, like, the relationship topics are fun to talk about.
They are. So we just want to say thank you. And thank you to all of our listeners again, you know, local, globally. This is why we do it. We do it for you guys. And we hope that you join our community, and I hope that everyone has a great week, and we will catch you next time.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.